listening to an Aeon podcast.
You're listening to episode 3 of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series. Throughout this series, I've been lucky enough to speak with and learn from naturopath, speaker, author and mentor Jodie Gozard, formerly Jodie Chapman, about finding freedom from anxiety, depression and ADHD. I hope you find Jodie's mind as brilliant and enlightening as I have throughout these recordings, but most of all, I hope you enjoy listening. In this episode, we discussed gut bacteria and the theory of the gut being the second brain, which is essentially the second of the 7 steps to freedom. So I guess the first question should be how. How is it exactly that the gut and the brain are linked?
The gut and the brain are controlled by the same brain neurotransmitters. So each neurotransmitter or brain chemical that you produce has a role to play in the gut as well. And not only that, the gut is where all of your neurotransmitters are actually produced. So if you can imagine, brain chemical, serotonin, most people have heard of it. If you're suffering any kind of anxiety or depression, serotonin is the happy brain chemical, which is the one that is targeted by most antidepressants. So it's responsible for feeling positive, happy thoughts in terms of overall contentment, etc., in life mentally. But it's also responsible for bowel peristalsis, which is the contractions that make you go to the bathroom. So oftentimes, if your serotonin is low, it may be coupled with your suffering with constipation. So it's not always a case though. So some people will get brain symptoms, which is anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, aggression, agitation, anger. So this is the telltale difference between serotonin and the other brain chemicals. It's the one that makes you impatient and irritable. So you get quite negative on it, negative thoughts, negative view of yourself, negative view of somebody else if you're upset by something, causing ruminating thoughts, etc. So you really get stuck in a negative place when your serotonin's low, but it also affects the bowel.
And can you tell us a little bit about E. coli, Streptococcus, Candida, lactic acid, those bacteria, and how they affect the brain?
Yes, so our bacteria are the actual entities that are responsible for the production of our brain neurotransmitters, which is why it's so important that gut flora is well balanced. You know, it's not often mentioned. If you take antibiotics, yes, please take some probiotics at the same time is what we hear. However, it's not really explained that without a healthy gut flora, you may not be able to produce your brain neurotransmitters properly. So one of the most abundantly grown and natural to the gut bacteria is actually E. coli. Now, there are harmful strains of E. coli that can make people very sick, but there is a main strain of E. coli that's absolutely necessary for the human gut because it converts the proteins that you eat from your diet. If you were to eat a broad range of food groups, meats from your diet, proteins from your vegetables, even if you're vegan, you will absorb proteins from your vegetable sources and protein powders, etc., nuts, seeds. These contain tryptophan, phenylalanine, tyrosine, glutamine. These are all amino acids, which there are 22 essential amino acids that make a protein, a whole protein. Now, without the help of E. coli, E. coli's job is to convert the food source of those building blocks, amino acids, into a form that humans can use to make their brain chemicals. So if you don't have any E. coli in your gut, you will start to deplete the amount of brain neurotransmitter you can actually produce.
How would one end up not having any E. coli in their gut, out of curiosity?
That is an amazing question because E. coli is not disrupted very easily except for the presence of harmful bacteria. So harmful bacteria is so commonly picked up for Western civilizations when we visit countries that are more third world countries. They don't treat their water sources. A lot of these harmful bacteria are born in our mouths, human mouths. So streptococcus, most people have heard of strep throat, sore throats. Mm-hmm. Streptococcus salivarius is one type of streptococcus. And, you know, if someone's not looking after their teeth, they can get more teeth infections and that will breed more streptococcus. When you go to third world countries, it's a normal human bacteria to have some streptococcus. Enterococcus is a type of bacteria that's born in the bowel. So one form is Enterococcus faecium. So there's many different forms, hundreds of substrates of these types of bacteria, and any of the coccus family produce a byproduct, which is actually a nerve toxin called D-lactic acid. Now, this is very important to know. Maybe half the population or a little bit more have an enzyme that can break down D-lactic acid, and then they can carry these bacteria and never be affected. Mm-hmm. You ever seen those people go overseas and get sick and one person's perfectly fine and the other person's very sick for quite some time afterwards?
I'm the perfectly fine one.
Oh, you are lucky. I'm one of the others.
Right.
And this is how I initially learned about this was a trip to Fiji back in 2007 when my daughter picked up streptococcus. When you pick up these bacteria, your initial response is diarrhea or vomiting. So it feels like food poisoning. People often confuse it with food poisoning, but you've just drank the water, and they don't treat their water the same as we treat our water here. Now, because their natural culture is to be exposed to these bacteria all the time, they're born carrying those and they're fine for those cultures. But when we treat our water sources here and then we're exposed to a new bacteria in such a level that starts to produce this D-lactic acid, some of the population don't have an enzyme that's able to break down D-lactic acid. Now, the difference between good bacteria and bad bacteria, which is not really ever spoken about, is that good bacteria make L-lactic acid. And L-lactic acid is very useful for a human brain, for emotions and thought, behaviors, focus, sleep, muscle function. You know, when you produce a lot of lactic acid after exercise, it has roles in our body. So we have an enzyme that breaks down L-lactic acid quite easily. We'll have a lactic acid surge for a period of time after exercise. Our bodies will break it down. Then we'll be fine. D-lactic acid, however, when a bacteria is producing it in mammoth amounts, depending on the amount of bacteria you've taken in because of being exposed to it, it might be a little bit, it might be a lot. But if it's a little bit and you don't have the enzyme to break it down, you will start to experience symptoms of excess lactic acid, which can last 3 to 4 days in your system rather than a few hours. And it will amplify every thought and emotion that you have to the point of overwhelm. So people who have a little, you know, following the exposure to the bacteria, you might be exposed to the bacteria 18 months ago. You might have gone on a trip quite some time ago. You might have got a little bit of an upset belly, come home, been fine. 2 years later, 1 year later, you know, period of time, and it's grown in your gut to a level that is now so large that you're producing D-lactic acid daily, and that D-lactic acid amplifies everything you feel. So all of a sudden you go from feeling fine and very slowly depression creeps up on you and you start to feel extreme anxiety all day long. That seems to be uncontrollable, that won't stop. Extreme depression all day long, extreme insomnia, overwhelming sense of stress. The littlest thing can make you afraid to open a letter because, you know, it might be a bill and you're worried about money right now.
And that's all attributed back to your imbalance in the gut.
Yes. So the amount of strep or enterococcus or staphylococcus, there's a couple of other not as common ones, lactococcus lactis, pediococcus, which they use in fermenting cheese in starter kits that you might buy a starter kit at home, or fermenting kefir or some of these other things. So you've got to be really mindful if you're that sensitive type. But this is so common that I've found it to affect probably about 90% of my seriously depressed patients over the last 15 years. So the first thing I do with a patient is do a stool test. If they're carrying large amounts of these bacteria, we work on getting rid of them, killing them off, whether we use antimicrobial herbs or whether we use antibiotics. It really depends on the level and how much it's affecting that patient. But the secondary reaction to that is that it competes with the good bacterias, E. coli, which make our L-lactic acid, bifidobacterium, lactobacillus, A lot of them produce both L and D, so they balance each other out. So they're beneficial. But if Streptococcus or Enterococcus, the coccus family bacteria, actually compete with the good ones, and eventually over time, you'll find that someone gets worse and worse and worse and worse as the years go on and need to keep upping their dose of antidepressants, because gradually their gut bacteria is becoming a very harmful environment for their production of their brain neurotransmitters. So not only are you getting the symptoms of the coccus family bacteria, which is amplification of everything, you're also over time suppressing your own ability to make your own brain neurotransmitters and becoming not only depressed or anxious and insomniac, but suffering with chronic fatigue syndrome with an unknown cause. Also, inability to make your hormones, because tryptophan, tyrosine, phenylalanine, these amino acids are all necessary for making all of your hormones as well. So we then become hormone deficient. Early menopause. I see early menopause affecting women who contract parasite. So any kind of entity in your gut that consumes the tools that you need to make your brain neurotransmitters and your hormones, which are all of your proteins, can cause a blockage that can then cause ill health and a deterioration of your entire being from that moment onwards.
How do we find out what the imbalances are within us?
We can do a stool test. There are a number of stool tests that are available. There's a number of different labs that do different types of stool tests. Mm-hmm. And the test that I tend to choose for the patient depends on the combination of the symptoms that they have. So Streptococcus or the coccus family bacteria not only cause depression, anxiety, and mood symptoms, they affect your nervous system in many ways. So four different systems, very important to understand how it might be affecting you. One, the nervous system, so depression, anxiety, mood, insomnia, behaviour, ADHD. You hear the term PANDAS, which is attributed to children with an autoimmune complex that they're attributing to Streptococcus. If you can lower the dose of Streptococcus in their system, you can overcome that condition. However, there's other parts of the body that can be affected too. So fibromyalgia, chronic pain, arthritis, muscular contraction, all of these can all be attributed to Streptococcus as well because of the D-lactic acid affects muscle, including heart disease. So pericarditis is bacteria-related heart disease. So you might not have any mental health symptoms and you could have a heart disease issue going on for many years because of the bacteria that's in your gut. It can also cause chronic irritable bowel syndrome, not disease, but irritable bowel syndrome. So chronic diarrhea, chronic constipation. So another bacteria called Clostridium creates a set of symptoms that's involved with stagnance of your digestive system. Clostridium, really interesting, is where the beauty industry get Botox from.
Whoa.
Right. So we contract Clostridium from food sources that have been left out too long. So you buy meat, maybe a little bit too old, or you've left it out too long between shopping and getting it home and getting it in the fridge. All of these things can contribute to potentially contracting Clostridium. Clostridium then, once burrowed into the gut wall, will release its toxin, which is paralyzing to the bowel, but it'll involve the oral cavity as well. So you can get sinus, hay fever, ongoing headaches. A telltale sign is that person who wakes up with multiple sneezing every morning. And they'll think that it's hay fever or allergy related when it's actually a bacteria, but Clostridium causes constipation, which is the opposite to the coccus family, which causes diarrhea. So you can have a combination of both, making your bowel alternate between the two symptoms. And depending on the combination of symptoms from a patient is the lab that I will choose, because each individual lab tests a different range of bacteria. Klebsiella, which is a bacteria that can cause autoimmune disease and chronic inflammation of the body and the gut. So there's a range of bacteria that we really want to understand whether someone is carrying them, reduce them, and restore the good bacteria so that we can produce our brain neurotransmitters and our hormones the way that we should for optimal mental health and physical health and prevention of disease.
It is phenomenal that your gut can have such an impact, like the bacteria in your gut and the levels of it can have such an impact on your mental state.
Mm.
So then once we have the answer as far as the gut's concerned and we know what's causing the symptoms, how is balance achieved?
It's not too difficult. It's just a little bit time consuming. So, for instance, Bacteroides are a very important group of bacteria that you can't recolonize using probiotics. Bacteroides are responsible for breaking down the fiber of your vegetables or food sources and converting them into vitamins. Yet, you can't take them in a probiotic. And if you've got an imbalance of the harmful bacteria, your Bacteroides can be suppressed as well. So you can lose nutrients such as B12, folate. A whole lot of range of nutrients are essential that we have Bacteroides present. And Bacteroides are one of those ones that they feed on the bone marrow in meat sources, which is why bone brothing is really essential. That is, you know, people wonder, why do we do bone brothing for a healthy gut? It's to encourage the Bacteroides sources when you can't take probiotics. So beneficial bacteria like Bifidobacterium and Lactobacillus we can get in our probiotics. So we can restore gut using those things. But once we find out that there's a harmful bacteria that's present, we need to use different methods to eradicate each one because each one has a different survival mechanism. So some can survive in oxygen, some cannot. Some burrow very deep into the villi of the gut. We need to flush the bowel out first over a period of time before we start using antimicrobial herbs to reduce their levels. And it can take quite a few months. It's not a forever project. It might be 3 months, it might be 2 months, it might be 6 months. And in very serious cases, it might be something more like 18 months. But in those cases, we tend to enlist the help of medical and the right antibiotics for that particular bacteria. Microbiologists know which ones are used for which bacteria, so it's very helpful to have a great relationship with a microbiologist and we can help identify whether we work medically or naturally to overcome that bacterial imbalance. It's the most important thing is that we are as efficient as possible at normalizing that patient's gut flora. So medical antibiotics aren't necessarily the worst thing to do as long as you are also supporting the good bacteria and repairing the gut wall. Your gut wall is essential to be healed at the same time because your gut wall are made of one thin layer of cells called enterocytes, and enterocytes feed off an amino acid. The most abundantly used one is glutamine, which a lot of athletes use to take to repair their muscle after they've done training. But glutamine is also a liver clearer, as well as makes GABA for the brain. So it's a calming neurotransmitter. But glutamine repairs the gut wall and it's the only one. So we want to make sure we're using a source of glutamine amino acid at the same time as restoring good bacteria and reducing harmful bacteria. And the way that we do that is a certain timing of these day in, day out so that the killing off of the bad bacteria doesn't affect the colonizing of the good bacteria. So it's just a method over years and years of determining what's worked with the patients that's created the most efficient way, the quickest way of getting over gut flora problems as quickly as possible.
Is there anything else we need to touch on, do you think, as far as the gut goes?
I think in terms of originally, you know, thinking about what can affect you, ruling out parasites is very, very important. Parasites is different to bacteria. It's treated differently to bacteria. It's very difficult to overcome them. And they can be so deleterious to the human body that you want to find out whether you've got a parasite immediately and knock it on the head before you even work on the bacteria. Parasites can leach you of all of your proteins and your iron very, very rapidly. So you'll find small children, they won't thrive, failure to thrive, teenagers with chronic fatigue and adults with depression.
How do parasites happen, out of curiosity?
We are exposed to them when we go out hiking, when we swim in a dam, when we drink tank water sometimes. So it's actually becoming more common in different areas where, you know, there might have been rural areas, rural homes set up with tank water, etc. But they seem to be becoming a more prevalent problem for humans in the environment. So, yeah, if you get out there and you're an adventure junkie, you might find that you're more exposed to parasites than other people. And you don't need to drink it. It just needs to be an exposure to your skin for some people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's very important to know. Also very important to know that people with the gene mutations that cause weaknesses in stomach acid production that we discussed, pyroluria, MTHFR patients who are more susceptible to mental health problems already, these people have lower stomach acid. And our stomach acid is designed to protect us from things that we swallow. We can't avoid swallowing bacteria. I mentioned picking it up from third world countries, but you can go to a public toilet here in Australia. You can go, well, anywhere in the world. You can go to a hospital and you'll find that there are, you can't sterilize every surface all the time. So you can go into hospital. I had a patient who had knee surgery and immediately following started suffering serious depression and 6 months later had chronic fatigue and couldn't do the exercise he previously did that required his knee surgery. He was an athlete and he became seriously depressed and it was from the experience of the trip to the hospital. So you can be exposed to these bacteria anywhere. So it's very important. If your stomach acid is low and you have these gene mutations leading to that, you are more susceptible for these bacteria surviving your stomach acid. Your stomach acid, one of its jobs is to kill off invaders when you swallow them, when we're exposed to them. And if those levels are low, it will more likely colonize your gut over someone who has very strong stomach acid. You hear that term cast iron gut? Those people generally have very good levels of stomach acid. They have less food allergies, less reactions to food, less food poisoning, less bacterial problems. And it's because of stomach acid levels being normal. So yeah, we can avoid it by protecting ourselves and understanding our genes, understanding our digestive function, taking what we need to improve our digestive function and, you know, protecting ourselves, being aware.
Well, you've certainly given us a lot to think about. Jodie, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us today. It certainly puts the term gut feeling into great context. That's it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. In the next episode of the 7 Steps to Freedom podcast series, Jodie will talk to us about nutrients, how malabsorption can result in deficiencies and ultimately affect your mood. If you'd like to keep up to date with future podcasts, please make sure you subscribe.
That's it for this episode. In the next episode of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series, Jodie will talk to us about all things dietary nourishment and how to recover through diet. If you're enjoying this series, please support us by subscribing to all episodes. If while listening you've had something of a light bulb moment and have the urge to reach out to Jodie, you can contact her via her website, advancedwellness.com.au. And finally, if you're experiencing a personal crisis or are having dark thoughts, please reach out to one of the many services available such as Lifeline. Lifeline's phone number is 131114.